Jesse Cunningham is going to preach to us today. He's got some good stuff. We're all going to learn and grow.
Amen.
All right.
Condemnation, but I run into people, and this is not part of my sermon, but I run into people and, you know, they hear the word and it automatically goes to, well, I'm not good enough. That's not for me. I've done this, that, and the other thing. All condemnation is it keeps you from possessing what's rightfully yours. We have things, we have promises in the word that are ours. Are we grabbing hold of them? Or are we letting condemnation keep us from them? Kick it out right now. Open your hearts. My expectation today is that people are going to grow. People are going to hear the word and they're going to grow. My expectation is miracles. My expectation is growth. Growth. Pastor Jonah has been talking about it. Growth. We need growth in the church. It's not a coincidence that we've had, you know, dreams about getting in the Word and knowing the Word. It's not a coincidence for the last 4 years or so, it's been a drumbeat in my head. Get in the Word. Know the Word. Get in the Word. Know the Word. Because now more than ever, I mean, look at what's going on around us. You better know who you are. You better know who you serve. Because it's going to be real easy to swerve down that other road if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word. So, what I'm actually speaking on today is fullness. I've had this on my heart for quite a long time. I've never taken the time to really dig into it until recently, but I think it's time for the church to understand and realize what we have available to us. There is a fullness that we can experience in this life that doesn't compare to anything. And it comes through Jesus. Everything this morning, from communion to the songs that we sang to whatever, was just perfect. Flowed into, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And that's all you're going to get from me today. I'll give you the answer before I even start. It's Jesus.
Yes.
It's Jesus. Jesus changed my life. Plain and simple. And if you let Him, and I don't know where everybody is today, but if you let Him, man, you just don't have any idea what's in store for you.
Amen.
You just don't. And it's good. It can be scary, but it's good. Because it's God leading it, not me. It's not my own ideas. It's not my own agendas. It's Jesus Christ. It's just good. And So fullness, fullness, what is fullness? You know, you'll never convince me that there's not a fullness we can't live in this life. We can't achieve in this life. But I believe there is a process. You know, my point here, I'm going to establish Jesus. The first part here is establishing Jesus, His authority, who He is, why He gets to be the fullness. You know, this is not a complete compilation of verses, and even though you know me, I always try and fit every ounce of verses I can into a sermon, but my intent here is to get you thinking, get those wheels turning, get you excited, get away from the condemnation that I can't achieve this, and get you excited about the Word of God and saying, I can do this. I can do this. I know I can do this because I see the victories that I'm achieving. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus. So I've had this on my heart, and I don't know if it's, what was it, last week or the week before, it was Jonah's call to maturity. We need to start coming up. If you're the same person that you were 10, 20 years ago, it's time to do some real hardcore self-reflection here. And this is not condemnation. This is, you can do this. you can do this. And I point to me because I know me. If I can do this, you can do this. You can do this. So, John 1. I would like to read the whole other 15 verses before this, but we got a lot to get through. So, these verses before it, John's establishing who Jesus is. The Word that became flesh. The Creator of heaven and earth. And you get down, and when I was reading this, and everybody who's heard me speak before knows I love John. And I fit John in anywhere I can. But John 1:16, "And of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace." So we've received a fullness. Are we grasping that fullness? Are we working towards filling ourselves up or letting Christ fill us up with that fullness? Because that's what, when He fills you up with that fullness, it doesn't stop. Because when I'm full, I get to bless you. And when you're full, you get to bless other people. And it just keeps spilling over and over and over and over. I want fullness in this life. We can achieve fullness in this life. Like I said before, I'm by no means an expert, but I do hear from God. I'm not ashamed to say that. I hear from God, and I'm excited that I get to hear from God. And fullness has been on my heart. The church needs to know what is available. We don't have to sit here and squalor and, oh, the mysteries of God, and, you know, I can't understand God, and why is this not working, and get in the Word. Get to know Jesus. There was this time in my life where I'd hardened myself so hard. I could read Paul, I could read other people, but man, when it came to reading about Jesus, I just hardened myself. I was mad, I was angry. I had shut myself off to the life-giving source. And gee, no wonder I never, you know, advanced and grew. Because it's all about what Jesus did for me. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. And like I said, that's the answer to all this, is Jesus. Get to know Jesus. So I love how the Amplified puts it. "For out of His fullness, the superabundance of His grace and truth, we have received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He's looking at all of you and smiling right now, saying, "Those are my kids. Those are my kids." He's not tallying your sins. He's not wagging His finger at you. He's saying, "Those are my kids. I love them. I died for them. I died for you and you and you." That's the goodness of our God. That's the grace of our God. So of His fullness we have received. What does that mean to us? Have we ever put any thought into it? Did we even know it was a possibility? Well, I'm here to tell you it's a possibility. You know, we're going to get to, in my opinion, and just some things I've found in the Scriptures, how we start walking this out. But start telling yourself, "This is for me. This is for me. This is for me. I can achieve this. I don't care what age you are. Old, young, somewhere in between. This is for you." So Thayer's definition of fullness, that which is, has been filled, that which fills or which is a thing being filled, fullness, abundance, fulfilling, keeping. Jesus is that which fills. Jesus is that which has filled. Jesus is our abundance. It's Jesus. And I hope you don't get tired of hearing that, because it's just going to keep coming. Keep coming and keep coming. So if you would, turn to Colossians. So, like I said, this first portion here, I want to establish Jesus. I want to establish why He gets to be in charge and why he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's go to Colossians 1. We'll start in verse 15. This is what you get when you sing really loud before you come up and speak. All right. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. For him by all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and to reconcile all things to himself by him, having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him, I say, whether they are things in earth or things in heaven. I mean, how many times in just those few verses here is Jesus established? God found it good that Jesus was the fullness. Jesus is the fullness. He is the image of the invisible God. We're going to get further on down here. He is the express image. He is the exact copy. He is God. When you see Jesus, and that's what I never understood, when I should have been looking at Jesus was, that's God. That's how He loves me. That's how He wants me. That's how, when I look at Jesus' ministry, that should be exciting me, that I can have this grace, I can have this mercy, I can have this love. But instead it was condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. You can't achieve this. Look what you've done. You've done this for years and years. You loved Him and then you turned your back on Him and blah, 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 blah. Down the road we go. And it was keeping me from possessing what was rightfully mine. He holds all things together. I mean, what an amazing thought. Just dwell on that for a little bit. All things are held together by His Word, by Jesus. So that in all things He may have preeminence. Because it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. We have been reconciled. Thayer says, reconciliation. Bring back to a former state of harmony. This is what God wanted from the beginning. Relationship. This is the type of forgiveness, righteousness, being able to go directly to God, to Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. This is what He wanted from the beginning. He didn't want separation. You know, He didn't want separation, but, you know, we think we know a lot. And so we gave it away through lack of knowledge, through lack of understanding. But thank God we're going to see here in a little bit that He provides it all. John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. The only Son who is at the Father's side has made Him known. Just another confirmation. If you want to know who God is, find out who Jesus is. You know, how much have we heard growing up? God's looking down. He's watching. He's watching. Don't do anything wrong. You know? I mean, we've had such a picture of a vengeful God, hateful God, when it's just a total misunderstanding, total misconception of Scriptures. You know, the Old Testament, that's a big topic that I can't get into right now. But we serve a God of love. He's always been love. We serve a God of peace, and He's always been peace. We can't compare ourselves to Old Covenant believers. We are New Covenant believers, and we have the promises that come with the New Covenant believer, but do we know what they are? Are we walking this out? Are we building relationship? Jesus is our example. He reveals who God truly is. Everything points to Jesus. Hebrews 1:3. I mean, look at the Old Testament, all the prophecy throughout the Old Testament. I mean, Isaiah was prophesying 700 and some years before Jesus even showed up on the scene. That's amazing. Moses was prophesying about Jesus. I mean, it all points to Jesus. Hebrews 1:3. He is the brightness of His glory, the express image of Himself, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's done it all. He sat down. He's not going to be crucified again. He's not going to pay for your sins again. He's already done it. What an amazing, like, man, that gets me excited. When we really stop and think about it, and this is what I didn't understand, and this is where I had gone so pear-shaped in my walk with Christ, I didn't have it in my heart who Jesus was, what He did. I mean, He paid for it all. He took it all. Yet while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. If He died for me, He died for you. He died for every person that's marching on those streets right now. All over the world, He died for every one of them. And how are we looking at them? Are we looking at them through the eyes of Christ? Do our hearts hurt when we see this stuff? Or have we just grown numb to it? Because that's just our world right now. Jesus wants those people. Jesus loves those people. Do we love those people? Or do we sit back and Monday morning quarterback and judge? Well, I could do this. They should have done this. Well, why didn't they do this? It doesn't matter. Christ is smiling at them just like He paid for their sins too. They may not have received Him yet, but He paid for their sins just as much as He paid for ours, for mine. I am no more worthy than anybody who's doing what they're doing out on the streets right now. But I know who my God is. I know my identity. My identity comes through Christ. My identity comes through everything that He provides for me. Strong's definition of image, the figure stamped that is an exact copy or express image. Thayer states the exact expression, the image of any person or thing, marked likeness, precise reproduction in every respect. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. You know, we don't always... The Trinity, that's a big, sometimes hard to understand, difficult thing. But I hope you're seeing where I'm going here, that Jesus is qualified. Jesus is well qualified to provide anything we need in this life. And in fact, He promises fullness. We're going to get to that here. I promise. I'm going to say it again. If you want to know who God is, find out who Jesus is. How do we do that? Through the Word. Through the Word, I had to get that. For those of you that have heard me before, I had to get to that. Through the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. You know? We can't know God unless we know what He said. What He did. You know? I thank God for godly parents that raised me in the way I should go. And thank God for the little bit that I had, because it didn't drive me over. You know, I didn't go totally over the deep end. I had one foot on the other side, I won't lie. But I always had something in my heart. I always had something in my spirit that just said, this isn't you. This is not you. Why are you doing this? This isn't you. And it wasn't like a browbeating thing. It was, let me help. I can help you. I can help you. And I remember where I was. I remember everything that was going on around me when I finally heeded that call. And it wasn't a pretty place. It wasn't pretty things that were happening. But guess what? God was still with me, even in those horrible places. And even when those horrible things were happening around me, He still loved me so much that He kept knocking. I'm here. Whenever you're ready. And I came to myself. And no, things didn't change overnight. I wish they would have. But they certainly didn't. And, you know, I had 30-some years of junk that I had collected. Sometimes junk takes a while to clean up. And I'm still in the process of cleaning up that junk. But I know that I have God. I know what my identity is. I know that I can walk in a fullness, and that's where we're heading. So we see it pleased God that in Him all fullness should dwell. Jesus is the express image, the exact image of the Father. If you've seen me, what did Jesus tell His disciples? You know, Jesus, show us the Father and it'll satisfy. Jesus told them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I hope this has taken root here. So it's through Jesus that we walk in fullness in this life. We have the Creator of all things interceding for us. I mean, just so many things we can sit here and ponder on. If it doesn't make you happy, and if it doesn't fill you with joy, and if it doesn't, let's talk. Because I'll pound some more down your throat, and it's going to make you happy eventually, I guarantee it. We'll just keep going and going and going, promise after promise after promise, and it's going to fill you up. And it's going to click. I mean, God is so good. Sometimes I turn into a real softy, and just when you can really sit and think about what He's done for you, man, it's amazing. It's good. He is good. He came as a man, lived the life we live, was rejected, suffered and died for us so we can have relationship with Him. And for me, and through what I read and what's resonating in me, is it starts with relationship. It starts with relationship. It's no different than any other earthly relationship. You know, God gave us marriage, right? What is marriage? It's a symbol of how our relationship can be with God. You know, what is our idea of relationship? Are we in it to just get something out of it? With a wrong heart, are we in it? Well, they can provide me this, so then I don't really have to do it. And, you know, are we in it with God so when the tough times come, all right, God, I need some help. You know? Do we only turn to Him when we're in trouble or when we're struggling? Or, and we can compare this to any other relationship we're walking through. Are we using people or are we loving people? Are we using people or are we actually trying to establish a relationship with people? Well, I know they sing pretty good. So, man, if they started at my church, I'd have a pretty good worship leader. You know, and it has nothing to do with that person. They can just sing good. I need a good worship leader. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a total heathen thought or if I'm sitting up here in church and think I'm, you know, pretty holy. And I mean, there can be wrong misconceptions at any level here. You know, I don't want to paint this picture like, you know, I'm perfect or not that I'm doing that. Rita's doing a great job. She's putting in her time, and we appreciate it. But, you know, just look at relationships. What's your intent? What's our intent with Jesus? Is it just to get? Or is it to learn and grow? So when my focus is relationship, a process begins that leads to fullness. And we're going to get into that here. When my focus is relationship, I want to get to know Jesus. Not just intellectually, but personally and intimately. When I realized I loved my wife, I wanted to get to know her more. Right? It didn't matter if I was 15, and let me tell you, it was quite the controversy at the time, but we fought through, didn't we, baby? But anyways, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I wanted to get to know her. And we've spent the last almost 18 years building a relationship. Ephesians. Go ahead and turn there if you'd like. I got it in my notes, so I'm going to whiz through it here. But Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus here. Verse 16. That He would give you according to the riches of His glory, power to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, pay attention to this, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So what comes first? Love comes first. True relationship, the foundation of a true relationship is love. Knowledge will come. When I open myself up and I say, God, use me. I want to know You. Knowledge is not the issue, man. He can... When you start getting into the Word and it's based on a love relationship, not just a have-to relationship, things open up. The Word is opened up to you. But it's based on love. I mean, if I am forcing myself to read Scriptures, and sometimes, you know, we're having an off day and we got to just push ourselves through, but whatever. But when my intent is just, well, I just need to know this. How many people do we know that know a lot of things, but don't have many things figured out? You know, and that was me. You know, anything I say, just know I'm probably pulling from my past. So, you know, you can know all you want, but if you don't put it to use, and if you don't know the heart behind it, if we don't know the heart behind the Scriptures, we're not going to see the grace that's there. We're not going to see the love that's behind it. It starts with love. Pure foundations. You know, within the world, physical attraction. That usually doesn't lead, you know, to a well-rounded relationship. You know? Well, they have lots of money. They can provide for me. You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You know, it's about love. Christ loved me. Christ loved me. I love Him. And things change. So love is the foundation here. And that one really jumped off the page at me is, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. His love is far beyond what we can ever know. Love, love. What was His new commandment? That you love as I love. It wasn't memorize every verse in the Bible and you'll achieve fullness. Do this, 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 and this, and this, and you'll achieve fullness. Because what does that sound like? Sounds like the law. Right? If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then we can have relationship. But Christ fulfilled the law. We no longer walk under the law. We have a covenant of grace, of mercy. All we have to do is love. Because it's amazing. When we humble ourselves and just love the doors that are opened. You know? Try it. And then you can tell me all the awesome stories that come from it. It's love. The foundation of a true relationship is based on love. When we love, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding come. It comes because I want to know more about Jesus. Right? I want to know more. I'm not being forced. I see how it's affecting my life. I see the victories that I've had. I want to know more. I want to go deeper. I want a better understanding. And it starts with love. And He's given us the tools to achieve this. You know, I didn't go into the Holy Spirit a lot in this one. but obviously the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is key, obviously. But let's go to Ephesians 4. We have other tools at our disposal as well. Verse 11, we're going to go down through 16, maybe a little further. So, we've all heard this stuff before, but I'm hoping I can draw attention to a few different phrases throughout here. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, and for the building up of the body of the Christ. Until we all come into the unity and faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. Into a complete man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we may no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, with deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ Himself. Speak the truth in love. Love, relationship, leads to maturity. Until we all come into the unity of the faith, we can achieve a unity in the body of Christ. There's not much unity here right now, but we can achieve it. It's no different than fullness. We can achieve fullness, but do we want the fullness? God's not going to force anything on anybody. He never has and He never will. He uses us. He wants to use us. But He's not going to force you. We have to open ourselves up. I had to say, make me usable. Because I sure as heck wasn't usable. You know, I had this revelation. I started getting this revelation of who I am and what Christ can do for me. And I wanted to go. Man, did I want to go. But boy, was I not ready. I was not ready. And it would have just been a horrible, horrible train wreck. You know, thank God for people, mature Christians that I could go to. You know, talk things out, get wisdom, get guidance. And that stuff never ends. You know, but it got me going on the right foot. Okay, well, what about this? What about that? We need to have people that we can go to and trust for wisdom, knowledge. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, they're here for us. You know? They're here for us to help us walk this life out. To help us experience and to get the revelation of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. The revelation of the gospel. All these promises and everything that we have in this life. I mean, the other side is going to take it to a level that we can't even comprehend. But there is a fullness in this life. Get it in your head. Start running it around. What does that look like to you? Because it looks different to me, probably. We're all different. We have different goals. We have different skill sets. We have different things we want to be doing in this life. So my fullness may be different than your fullness. Your fullness, that's not the point. The point is it's there. It's there. God is willing. God is able. Jesus wants to pour this into us. Because man, just imagine. Like, me and Jonah just had a conversation on unity. And I brought up the subject of a unit. I know what a unit is. I was in the... Jonah does as well. So it was an easy conversation. We were a part of units when we were in the Marine Corps. And units can run smoothly. And units don't always run smoothly. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into this. But my point is, it's an amazing thing to see a unit of people that are on the same page. That know what they're supposed to be doing. I'm not tooting my own horn here, but our unit was one of the best units in the whole division. We were called out by division commanders. We knew what we were doing. We were good at what we did. And it changed. We went from being the best to be a bunch of guys that didn't care about anything. How did it change? Leadership. All sorts of different things that fell into place. You can go from the ultimate high to the ultimate low in a second. But when we're rooted and grounded in the Word, you know, like we were rooted and grounded in men's system, and certain men came in and didn't know what they were doing, and it's no different than getting caught up in bad doctrine and anything else. You can be on just this fast track, and you start going down Cookville, going down the weird stuff, and it's over. It's over. Sound judgment, sound doctrine is out the window. And you go from being this amazing unit that can just tackle anything to just being non-effective. It got to the point, and I'll be honest with you, where I didn't want to go to battle with these people anymore. That's a scary thing when you're an infantryman and you could be sent overseas at any time to fight. And I didn't want to fight with the people I was with. Because I had this bad feeling they were going to get me killed. Because they didn't know what they were doing. They wouldn't take orders. You know, they wouldn't do what was asked. And it's a scary thing. But man, can it be beautiful when unity is there. And it's going to be a beautiful thing in the church. When unity arrives, when people start getting a hold of this, that I don't have to struggle through life. I have Jesus Christ that can bring me up and out. But love. Speak the truth in love. Love Jesus. Knowledge will come. Relationship is based on love, which leads to knowledge, which leads to trust. When we trust, we believe, which develops faith, which drives out unbelief. And throughout this whole process, we develop into mature people, mature Christians. Maturity is what leads. Is the next step into fullness. But we got to get past the basics. We got to get past the milk. We need to start eating the meat of the Word. This is what I want for us. This is my goal and my intention. Anytime I speak, is to challenge you, not in the condemnation way, but to challenge you that this is for you. This is for us. We can draw ourselves up and out of this and experience something. We are different. I just told this story on Saturday. When this all started, my whole revelation of things. And I was sitting at a lunchroom, and I'd known these guys for quite a few years now. And we were sitting at the table and just having our usual lunchtime conversation, and something came up and I said, oh, I go to church. A very good friend of mine looked at me and said, you go to church? Boy, talk about the gut punch. You know, like, I didn't look, I didn't act any different than any of these guys that didn't know God, wasn't walking with Him. You know, there was a moment there where the old me would have just crumbled. Well, I tried. That's over. You know, that's what the devil wants to do. You know, you take the gut punches every once in a while. Do you get back up? You know, you just got knocked down. Are you going to get up? But thankfully, I got up. And it drove me. You know, I didn't go under this thing of, oh, I can't do this. It drove me. And it said, okay, well, people need to see something different. And by gosh, by the time I left, people saw something different. You know, I was the one that people came to for advice, for, you know, they called me the psychologist of Uline. You know, anybody who had problems, go talk to Jesse. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was just they saw something different. I very rarely have ever gone up to anybody and presented the gospel. Most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, people would just come up to me. Why do you act this way? Why does this not bother you? Why aren't you ticked off like the rest of us? Why do you have something positive to say all the time? Man, there's your avenue. You know? Yes, there are people that are very good at sitting on the street corner and calling things out, but I've heard statistics and relationships are what draw people. Draw people into the church. Draw people into Jesus. Relationships. You know, Billy Graham said it himself. I think they said, well, of his ministry, 3% or so of people, 5% of people, think of the millions of people he reached. 5% continued to walk with the Lord. You know, that weighed on him till his death. You know, because people need to grow up. People need to be taught. People need to be discipled. Why did Jesus say, go into the world and make disciples? Because that's how we grow. Through teachers, preachers, pastors, evangelists, through the Holy Spirit. You know, this is how we grow. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. Real quick, couple verses here to end it out. Philippians 4:13, something we've all heard, but in the context of things, I like it. 3:14. Philippians 3:14. I'm going to get there. This is Paul speaking. I press toward the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press. Move forward. Don't be stagnant. Go. I remember sitting in my easy chair and watching all my shows. And God said, well, you can spend the rest of your life doing this, or you can get up and go. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get up and go. You know, I could sit there and dream about being all these different people I was watching. Or I could get up and do it. I mean, it was plain as day. God said, I have something better for you. Better than what you're watching on this TV. I have something better for you. Keep sitting there and sorry. I had to do something. We have to do something. We have to press in. And He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. When you press in, He delivers. He will never let you down. But what is your intent? What is your intent in this relationship? Is it to draw closer to Him and reach maturity? Or is it just to, you know, have the feel-good moments and, you know, try and get a few things when things aren't bad or when things are bad or, you know. You can live that life. You can. And guess what? God still loves you. He's still smiling on you. I know, and if I would have died back in my heathen days, I believe I would have went to heaven. I do. But I wouldn't have known much. Wouldn't have had many things on my crown. Probably wouldn't have had a crown at all. And, you know, remedial classes come to mind. And, you know, like, that whole thing. But thank God I would have made it. But there is just so much more in this life. There is so much more we can have in this life. Press in. Press in. And then my last scripture. Psalms can't leave the Old Testament out. Psalm 16, 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You will make known to me the path of life. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Heed. Listen. The Holy Spirit never stops speaking. Never. Ever. In His presence is fullness of joy. I just challenge you. Fullness. Fullness, 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 fullness. We can possess it. We can achieve it. And we can affect others through it. You want me?
This is a good word. Thank you, Jesse. You know, the gifts are there to encourage us and to help us. And each gift is different in its own way. And I was thinking, as he's up here ministering, you know, that here it is. It's Jesus through him. It's like I'm not listening to Jesse. I'm listening to Jesus through Jesse. And that's a wonderful thing, because it's the wisdom of ages flowing through a man to you. What he gave you today is awesome. It's good stuff. And it'll change your life. You know, God loves you. And he has a plan for your week. Walk in the fullness of it, whatever it happens to be. Let's pray. I thank you, Father, that you love us and you care for us. We thank you that you've saved us and delivered us, and that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, help us to walk in the fullness of what you intend this week, that your name receives glory and honor in our lives. We just bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed.